Tonight we're going to talk about the true and living God. We're going to talk about a few things tonight that have to do with the birthmarks of a Christian, things that are very important to God and they should be very important to us. We're going to start our text is 1 John chapter 5, 13 through 21. But we're going to start off in Isaiah 45 to give you the grounds of the message tonight. Today, we live in a world of many gods, but there is only one and true living God. Today, that there's many Christians out there that believe in so many different things and praise so many different things, and there's so many idols in this world that I believe that Christians have lost sight of what truly matters. But Isaiah chapter 45, and we're going to start in verse 18. Isaiah 45, verse 18. The Bible says, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he hath created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else." And you're going to notice through the next few verses, he says, "I am the Lord and none else." He says, "I am the God, that there is none else." And it's very important that he created this earth. He created the heavens. He created the earth. You think about it. You look out to the mountains and you look out to the lakes when you go out there in the summertime and you see the wondrous beauties that he's created. And there can't be any other God. There can't be a big bang. It is the Lord who created it all. And yet there's so many religions out there today that teach very different, that don't believe in the flood or maybe don't believe in Jesus, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. The Bible says, "I am the Lord and there is none else." Verse 19 says, "I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves, come draw near together." And as we've drawn here together tonight to hear the Word of God, and I pray that it's the Word of God and nothing about what I have to say, but we've gathered tonight to hear something. And the Bible says, "Ye that are escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven images and pray unto a God that cannot save." So there's many out there that pray unto idols, that pray unto Buddhas, or pray unto whatever it might be, but there's one God that we pray to, and it is not the graven image of the images of this world. But we pray unto a God, they pray unto a God that cannot save. They pray into things that cannot get us to heaven. They work their way that cannot get them to heaven. There's one way to heaven, and we'll get to that. But there's many ways that people teach that are not right. And the Bible says, "Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from the ancient time, who hath told it from the time, from that time, have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me. A just God, a Savior, there is none else beside me." So it would be very important that there's one God, one true living God. There is none others. So when people start to tell you that there's other ways or other gods, there are none. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." So he says, look unto me, and today Christians are not looking unto the God. They're looking unto their own ways. They're looking unto the things of this world that have no meaning. I was teaching the kids this morning the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are for the meek. Blessed are those that are persecuted, because Christians today are so afraid to be persecuted, they won't go tell somebody about Jesus. They won't go and tell someone about the true and living God because they don't want to be persecuted. Now, I can tell you story after story, and I'll tell you a funny one tonight that when I went out, and it wasn't funny to me, but I think it was funny to the people that we were street preaching with, and I was a part of a church up in Alaska for about a year before I got married. And we were out street preaching, and this man came from a hotel, and he didn't like what we had to say. He was hungover. He was drunk from the night before, big biker guy. And he came up to me, and he came up to another guy first who had a baby on his back and started pushing him around, telling him, "You ought not be preaching this. This ain't nothing. There's no God." And, of course, my instinct steps in between him and that baby because I don't want that baby to get hurt. And I tell him, "Sir, there is a God, there is a Jesus that loves you. He will save you." And no doubt, he punches me right in the nose because I stepped in between him and this guy. And I'm bleeding. I'm laying on the ground. And the Holy Spirit says, "Get back up and tell him Jesus loves him again." I said, "No." He said, "Yes." I got up and I told him, "Sir, Jesus still loves you." And he hit me again. No doubt, I hit the ground and I'm even more bloody. And the Holy Spirit says, "One more time." I said, "No, He said, one more time. I said, no. I stood up again, and he hit me one more time. And I'm laying there, and my friends were like, what are you doing? Just quit it. And I stood up, and I said, sir, Jesus still loves you. And that man hit his knees, and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, not because of me, but because of the leading of the Holy Spirit. When I stood up and I said, Jesus loves you, it took a few to get through his head, but it took a few objects hitting me to get him to understand. But that is one of my favorite stories, because we will be persecuted. I've had people out soul winning that have dumped beer on me, that have slapped a door in my face because they don't want to hear it, because they don't know the true God. But if they knew the true God and they knew the God that saves, the God that we can look to, the God we can have hope in, they wouldn't be doing these things. They would accept it. But this world is taking God out of everything. They're taking God out of schools. They're taking God even out of the military, the government. You speak of God and you're a fanatic. You speak of God and people get afraid. And what's their afraidness? They get into defense mode and they start telling you there's no God, but there truly is a God. Now we're going to go back to 1 John chapter 5 and we'll get into our text. And we're going to talk about the assurances that God gives us as a child of Him. Ones that are very much a promise. Ones that He can assure us that we know that we're doing right. So Isaiah 45 gives us assurance that we have eternal life, life in Him. 1 John 2, 3 through 6, the first one is called the birthmark of obedience. The birthmark of obedience, 1 John 2, 3 through 6. The Bible says, and hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The Bible says, but whoso keepeth His word, and in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk, even as He walked. So the very question is, do we want to be obedient unto the word of God? Do we want to trust it and go ahead and live it? Because the Bible, my favorite verse, is my life verse that got me on track, that Pastor Habman went ahead, flipped me out of my bed when I was doing wrong. I was living a life of sin. He knew that I was a Christian. He knew I was going down a road that was not going to go anywhere. And he flipped me out of my bed and he said, son, you're wasting God's time. And he quoted James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, but deceiving your own selves. So he flips me out of my bed and tells me, I'm going to be back in 5 minutes. And you're going to be ready to talk. And of course, I'm young and I'm hungover from the night before. And I tell you, when he came back with his shirt sleeves rolled up, I knew he meant business. And I came out and I talked to him and he got me on fire for the Lord. I started coming to church. I started doing the things I was supposed to. But it took a man that God would use to quote a verse that would mean so much to me later on in life. So the question is today, do we want to keep His commandments and do we want to do what He says? The Bible says to love thy brother. And the Bible tells us we are a liar if we don't love our brother. The Bible tells us there is nothing in us if we don't love Him. If we love God, we will love our brothers. And I've seen it day in and day out that Christian brothers and sisters, they get on each other's bad sides and they start division and they start competition and they start all this and things happen that ought not happen. But you know what happens when those things happen? Their eyes aren't on the Savior. Their eyes are not on God. So if we want to keep His commandments, we need to know that we need to obey Him. First step after we get saved, I would believe, is to be baptized, to show that obedience to God and to the people that I am saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm no longer ashamed of the things of God or the things of the church, but here I am, God. And of course, you're buried with Him in death and raised to walk a new life. And that's your first step of obedience, but that's not the last step. The Bible's very clear throughout obedience. There's a way to live and not a way to live. I was talking to the kids this morning about a parable. I talked to them a few parables about the two men that prayed, and one prayed humbly to God, and one prayed not so humble. He was blaming others, and he was doing this, and he was doing that. And you think about the sower and the seed. You can go to the thorny side, or you can go to the good soil. You have the choice, I have the choice to do what pleases God. But the question is, do we want to obey Him so He can use us? Will we understand what it means to obey His commandments? Now we go back to our text, and the second birthmark is the birthmark of love. This one is very important. The birthmark of love For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Christians ought to know how to love. And it ought to be seen that we are obedient Christians, but not only that we are loving Christians, that we're not Christians looking to one-up one another or to make somebody look bad, but that we love one another. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong in the Word of God. Am I in the wrong place? I'm in the wrong place. 3:14, sorry. I knew I was in the wrong place. 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. For whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and he knoweth not no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So would you say it's pretty important to love thy brother? What do we have to do to love thy brother? We have to love our God so much that nothing gets in between the brothers and sisters of the church. But to love thy brother. The Bible talks so much about love. Love thy brother. Love thy sister. You know, the preaching of the old time would say, I can't get along with that guy, so I'm not going to be a part of him. But the question is, if we love God enough, we could get along with that person. We could love them. Amen. Maybe we don't see eye to eye or agree on a few little things, but we can love that brother. We can trust that brother. We can be there with that brother. And I tell you, growing up, I seen a lot of things that I wish I'd have never seen. I went down some roads I wish I'd have never went down. And one thing that God proved to me was that I didn't have the love that I needed. I lost my sister, you know, at a young age. We got into a big fight. And I never told my parents or my siblings that I loved them. I don't know why. I was just young. When I was a kid, I was abused and I was thrown around. So love just didn't mean too much to me. Okay? And my sister, we had an adopted sister, and she decided that she didn't want to go across the street. My little sister had to go get Kool-Aid for dinner. But we lived in Tri-Cities, Washington. Pasco, Washington, it's like an 8-way intersection where we lived. Very busy intersection. And we were not allowed to cross the street. And as my sister went to go to the store, I told her, I said, we are not supposed to cross the street. We cannot go. Well, of course, we got into a fight. We're siblings. We told each other we hated each other and this and that. And I said some things that I regretted for the rest of my life, because as she was coming back with that Kool-Aid, a retired judge was drunk driving, ran a red light and hit her. But the intersection was so big, nobody seen it happen. And the light turned green. And another truck came and didn't know, because he was so little, what he had done. But he felt something under the truck, and he stopped. And my sister, we had a doctor's office right next door to our house. And he said as soon as she hit the ground from the first one, she had broke her spine and her neck. And he taught me through that I didn't have the love for him or for the people that I needed to serve him. And I seen the whole thing happen. I was standing outside when it happened. So it hurt me for a long time. I went down a road that I wasn't pleased of, because one day somebody walked up to me and said, how can a God that loves kill your sister like that? And he had a beer in his hand. He said, brother, this will help you feel better. I made it all the way through high school till I was 18 years old before I touched a drop of alcohol. And because I wasn't strong in the Lord, and I didn't know how powerful or great my God was, I partook of that. And I went down a road that I wish I never would have went down. But praise God, He used it in a way that I can have a testimony to those that are addicted to alcohol, those that are addicted to certain things. I can help them with that. But He taught me through that we need to love our brethren and our sisters, that we ought not go to bed. The Bible tells us that we ought not go to bed angry at night. And I wish I wouldn't have got that angry. But later on in life, after Pastor Habman, after all that, came and flipped me out of my bed and said, you're wasting God's time, young man. To this day, I haven't went back to that life. Praise God. It had nothing to do with me, but it had to do with God using a man that loved him so much that he wanted to get me on the right track. So when you see teenagers come in here that don't have such great lives, or you see even adults come in here that don't have such great lives, love them. Teach them. Help them. Be there for them. You know, we got lots of visitors every Sunday morning, and we ought to love those people so that they keep coming back. So the second one is the birthmark of love. Love is very important to God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Pastor Lamont's back home used to always say, "For God so loved Pastor Tom. For God so loved Brett. For God so loved Barbara," right? I got it right? Yeah. "For God so loved Barbara," right? Put yourself in that verse. Not to change the Word of God or anything, but put yourself in that verse, because God loved you, so you should love others. So the third one is the birthmark of truth. 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 8. The Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." So there's many false teachings today. There's many false gods today. And there's many people coming, as the Bible says, as sheep, right? Coming to try to sway you. You know, we got done with the parade the other night, and we were walking, and I was with the Nettos walking back to the car, and here they were with their name tags. And they tried to hand us a track, and I was like, "No, thank you, brother. Have a good day." I wasn't mean about it. Lily was like, "No, thank you." Right? It was funny. But you know what? There's many things going on out in the world teaching what's not right. Because we cannot get ourselves to heaven. We're not going to be a part of so many things going on in this world. But we have to know whether or not they're true or right. You should be able to, if you have these birthmarks when we get done with them, you should be able to tell when somebody comes up to you and starts speaking to you and telling you that they're a Christian, but they're so far from it if you understand it. You almost stole my sermon this morning. You kind of got into this and it kind of got me all nervous. I thought about changing it, but I did not. But there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world that are trying to take the people of the church, that are trying to take them their own way and not God's way. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world." So if somebody comes up to you and tells you that they are a Christian, but yet they don't believe in Jesus, they've never accepted Him, there's no truth to that, because the Bible's very clear. The Bible says in 1 John 5 that you may know that you have eternal life by believing on the name of the Son of God. Correct? So we can know for sure we have a place in heaven. There is a Jesus who died for us. So when they start telling you there is no Jesus, even some will tell you there is no God, that they serve a higher power, or they serve something higher in reality, but there's no God, they're wrong. And the Bible says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." So what is inside of you is greater than what is in the world. Okay? You have the King of Kings at your beckon. You can call Him and talk to Him whenever you want. You can dial Him without getting charged overtime or roaming, right? He is the God of God, the King of Kings. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, indwells within us, so that we can have a constant relationship with God. One of my favorite illustrations is that kinked hose with the water. When you turn the water on, it's gushing, is it not? Unless there's something mechanically wrong with it. But for most points, you turn the hose on, the water comes gushing out. But when you kink that hose, like I do so much to my daughter when she's watering the yard, I'll kink it for her and say, "Go move it." And she falls for it every time, and she'll go to move it, and I'll open it, right? But that kinking hose is like the relationship between Christian and God. When we get off track and we get off the things of God and we get our eyes off of God, we go ahead and we stop that relationship because we're not on the right track. So that kinked hose is very important, because once it's kinked, we have no communication back and forth. So we have to have communication with God. We have to have a life, a relationship. We're going to learn that later on. I don't want to get too far into it, but the relationship with the Christian is the most important in your life, because without no relationship, you have no hope. You have no way to communicate with them. So that relationship's very important. "You are of God, little children, have overcome them, and is greater He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." And Pastor Crowder was talking this morning about when you walk up to a Christian and you start talking about the things of God, and they're with their worldly friends, and they just, "Oh, I got to go, I'm ready to go." It's the way it is today, because Christians don't want other people to know that they're a part of a church, or they're a Christian, they're saved and on their way to heaven. But when you think about it, The world will speak of the world, and the Christians ought to speak of the Bible. The Christians ought to speak of the God. The Christians ought to be speaking of the things of righteousness, not of the things of this world. And when you get around Christians and there's too much worldly things going on, we ought to get ourselves out of that situation, because we are flesh. We can fall if we're not careful. But the Bible says, we are the world and heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So it is up to us whether or not we want God to hear us. We can pray to God all we want. We can talk to Him all we want. But if we are not living a life that is pleasing to Him, and we're living a life of sin, we're dabbling in the world and dabbling with God and coming to church on Sunday, but there's nothing changed when we go into our daily life. It's funny. At work, I got this guy. He's a funny guy. But when he gets over to the radio, he goes, "Preacher, I need your help." Because I tell people about God when I'm at work. When they start getting down and they say, "How do I get through this?" I will go on my phone if we're not busy, and I will show them through the scriptures how they can have hope. And I'm glad that I can work in a place that I don't have to worry about getting fired because I talk about God. The people respect where I stand, because when I sat in that interview, believe it or not, I said, "I am a Christian. I am a man of God. That is what I am, and I will not change for anything." I said, "I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I show up to work on time." But I said, if somebody asks me, I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them about the King of Kings. And as long as you're not forcing it on him, as long as you're not just giving it, you know, if somebody asks, go for it. But when I sit in those interviews, I make it very clear that I'm a Christian and I will do nothing that dishonors my God. And there's many Christians today who, as soon as they get into the workplace, their Christian walk just kind of goes downhill, because they're afraid to tell people. But I'm telling you today, don't be afraid. He's given us these birthmarks for a reason, so that we can have assurance of life, that we can have assurance that He is with us. So not if we went through the birthmark of obedience, but the birthmark of love and the birthmark of truth. Now we have the birthmark of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:13, the Bible says, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us His Spirit." So I kind of already went into that, but we have the Holy Spirit that dwelleth within us. The Bible says, "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." You know, if you go through the book of John, it talks a lot, to 1 John, it talks a lot about love throughout that scripture. And I think it's for a reason, because we can get so caught up in life that we forget to love the people that mean so much to us. You talk to husbands and wives, you talk to grandmas and grandpas, children, sometimes we forget what it means to love them, because we're too busy or we're too caught up in this world and not in the things of God. So it's important that we love. So we have the Spirit, we have the witness of God, which is greater than us. And that witness of God, that Holy Spirit that's within us, can help us teach others and tell others about Jesus. When you get afraid, and you get afraid and you're like, "Man, I don't know if I can tell this person about Jesus. He looks mean, he looks big, or he looks like he's going to deny it." God's words are greater than man's. So you just open that Bible up and start giving Him the Bible, and that will give you the confidence to keep going. The witness of God is greater than man. We express our love by loving children of God, by loving God and keeping His commandments. It is grievous, not to keep His commandments are grievous, burdensome, or distracting. So when things start to become distracting or burdensome, we need to hit our knees and ask for some grace and some love. Those who have overcome the world have believed on the Lord Jesus. Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus? Because if you want to overcome this world, the only way is by Jesus. There's no overcoming this world or sin without the God of heaven. And the Bible says, or the Bible doesn't say, I'm going to my notes. We have overcome the world if we believe in Jesus. So the question today, where is our faith? Are we living a life of faith that's pleasing God, that others see something different about us? Do they see that witness? Do they see a different spirit about us? Do they see a different, when the boss says go do this, or mom says go do this, or dad says go do this, yes sir, yes ma'am. Maybe on the job site, the boss says, I need you to run up that ladder. It's like 12 stories high. Yes, sir. I'm going to be hurting when I get back down. But yes, sir, I'm going to go up that ladder and do what you told me to do. So does this world see an obedient Christian? Do they see a loving Christian? Do they see the spirit that's within you? Do they see something different about you, the witness that is so much greater than you? Or do they see the world in you? Do they see you when things come up strong and they come up wrong and you see some things coming on in life and you lose your faith and you try to get yourself out of it? I've done that, no doubt. And I'm sure others have done that. But maybe it comes to bills, or it comes to not knowing how you're going to put food on the table. And you're like, how is this going to happen? How is that going to happen? And we lose our faith right in front of the world. And the world's like, wait a second. Those people preach faith every week. They're supposed to trust and believe in their God. And this guy, every time something comes along, he's mad, he's angry, he gets 5 more jobs, and he tries to do it himself. Yet he just brings more ruin to the life. You know, up to about maybe 2 years ago, and Reuben can attest, I used to work 2 jobs. I was a youth pastor, a husband, a father. I worked 2 jobs morning to night, and did you not see me burn out? I was trying to do things on my own, which I didn't realize it at the time. I just took that verse literally. If I cannot provide for my family, I'm worse than an infidel, right? And I worked so hard that I kind of burnt myself out. And I worked so hard to try to pay the bills that if I would have just looked to God, maybe I wouldn't be resigned today. Maybe things would be different. Or maybe they'd be exactly the way they are right now. But I am so glad that He finally got a hold of me, the King, the God, and showed me that I don't have to work 2 jobs. I just need to trust in Him, and He will give me that job that I need to provide for my family. And now I got a job that provides for the family, and it helps the people that we can help. And I'm glad for that. It's good. And I'm not wore out. I'm not tired anymore. I was working from 5 a.m. to about 1:30. And then I would work from 2 to 8 o'clock at night at ProBuild. But I worked another job before that, but I did that 7 days a week. Church on Sundays, I would work a shift in between churches, like a 4-3 hour shift. But I was working so much, my family life kind of started to tilt. It started to go down in my church life. I was still studying, I was still praying, I was still doing my job, but I wasn't doing it as effectively as I could. And I apologize for that to the ministry, for the kids that were entrusted in me. But it's very important that the witness of God is greater than I or greater than you. And if we just trust in Him and we have faith, and your faith is anchored in that risen Savior, we will not make those errors that we've made before. We will make the right decisions when it matters. So it's very important, as we see these birthmarks of obedience, these birthmarks of love, truth, and the Holy Spirit, and I already went into the last one. I always do that. The birthmark of the witness within. 1 John chapter 5, and this is where we get into our texts, and we will finish up. The Bible says in verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave His Son. So He gives us the witness within. We have that within us to go out and tell somebody about Jesus. We have that within us to go ahead and do something for God and get off the sidelines or the bench. We have that within us. We just have to know how to use that power. We have to know how to make that so that God can use it. But the first thing is we have to get in the Word of God. But before we open this Word of God up, I teach the kids all the time that when we open this up, before we even open it, we need to talk to God in prayer, so that He can open the Scriptures up to us, so that He can teach us something. So when that prayer life comes, you know, we just taught a series on pray. First one was praise. Second one was revelation. The third one was absolution. And the fourth one was yearnings. We praise God when we come into prayer. We thank Him for everything He's done for us, good or bad. We thank Him for our salvation. We thank Him for our family. We thank Him for our kids, our loved ones. And then, of course, we ask him to reveal to us any way in us that is not pleasing to him. And we ask him to reveal that sin. And most times we know the sin in our life. So to ask him to reveal would kind of be an oxymoron because we know when we're doing wrong. But we still need to ask him to reveal it to us. And then absolution is a big fancy word for forgiveness. And so we ask God to forgive us after we've asked him, after we've revealed that. And then we go ahead and we get into the prayers of who we need to pray for, what we need to do. Because if we're not coming to God, praising him, asking for forgiveness, I truly believe he will not hear our prayers. I truly believe that he's going to wait for us to come to that point where he says, okay, I know you're serious now because you're getting your own life in square instead of others before you, right? Christians do that. Oh, this person did that. That person said this. This person was doing that. I seen him doing that. I was just teaching the kids this morning that when God shows you something, it's not to open our mouths. If he shows you a brother struggling or a brother doing wrong, sometimes he'll tell you to pray for him. Sometimes he'll tell you to go ahead and meet that need for them. Maybe you see a brother can't make it to work with gas or food or whatever it might be, and that brother's got an addiction problem, so you say, okay, I'm going to take you and I'm going to get you that food, and I'm going to get you that gas or pay that electric bill for you, but I'm not going to hand him $100 of cash so that he can go use it for worse, right? So prayer is very important in a life. So once we get past and we get right with God, then we can start praying for the people. And we got that big, long prayer list, many prayers on there, that we start praying. And when you start seeing answered prayer, it's like, praise God, because our lives are right with him. And then we can go ahead and see answered prayer. It's amazing every time I see you guys, Austin Deschner, that he's doing good, that he's living, he's walking again. Most people that go through that probably wouldn't be walking this fast, let alone back up and moving. But the power of God is greater than the power of man. No matter what a doctor can do or a doctor cannot do, if God wants that person healed, that person's going to be healed. I truly believe today that there are still miracles. There are still things that God can do that men cannot do. And he proves it over and over. The witness of God is greater than men. So the next part, and I already got into it. Why did I always jump ahead? The true God hears and answers prayers. Verse 14 of 1 John chapter 5. The Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And I'm going to park there for a second because it says, if we ask anything according to his will. So many times we ask for things we don't need. We ask for all those wants, and we ask for those things that we don't need. The safest place, Pastor Lamont used to always say, the safest place is to be in the will of God. And if we are not in the will of God, we're already failing ourselves and maybe our families and the people around us. So when we ask God and we have confidence and we have the faith that he can answer that prayer, he's going to answer that prayer. But in his timing and his way, not our way. So it is his will and he heareth us. So when people tell you that there's no communication with God, that we can't hear him and he can't hear us, how do we communicate with God? We pray to him and he reveals it through preaching or through the word of God. That's our communication with God, is it not? So if we cannot have any communication with God, why are we even in church on Sunday, right? We have a communication. We have a way. We just have to do it right. You know, many pray the same prayer every day, the Lord's Prayer. It's a great starting prayer for a new Christian, but you got to learn to just talk to God. That's what prayer is. Talking to him, letting him know your problems, letting him know what you need, not what you want, but wait for him. Wait for him, because I don't know how many times that I tried to fix things on myself, and I did, but then I robbed myself of a blessing from God by trying to do it myself. And then, of course, I never learned, and I just kept doing it over and over and over. But when we rely on God, he will hear us. We just have to be in the will of God. So the true God, he hears and he answers prayers. You just got to communicate with him. You got to get in prayer. You got to open that Bible up, and you got to see what God wants to do in your life and the lives around you. It's not about me. It's about what God can do through me to help others. It's not about you, but it's what about God can do through you to help others. Number 6, the true God warns us of concerning seriousness of sin. 1 John 5:16. Now, if we are living a life of sin and we're doing things that we know are wrong and we are a child of God, He will not hear our prayers until we get it right. The Bible says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life. For them that that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. And so many Christians today don't see the seriousness of their actions when they do wrong. Because this is a world that teaches kids that you can go ahead and mess up. You know, public schools will give them what they need to go out and be an adult, which they should not be doing. It's a sin. It's an abomination to the Lord. Amen. And they will tell them it's okay to mess up. If you go out and get drunk, just go to the doctor. You know what I mean? They say it's okay. You see teachers throughout this, I don't know about the community, but throughout the world, teachers over and over in the headlines of partaking in things with students that they ought not. They've broken that trust with the kids and their parents. And people wonder why we homeschool our kids. Right? They tell us we're crazy, that we're sheltering our kids. I'm not saying all public schools are bad, but they allow our kids to do things that aren't right. They'll let kids go and get abortions without telling the parents. They'll let kids, they'll hand out sexual products so that they do it safe. Schools. Planned Parenthood, right? We're not going to get into politics, but this world has lost its sight on the true and living God. And it's very important that we know where our kids are, that we know what our kids are doing. You know, our kids, they don't go anywhere without an adult. You say, man, that's mean. That's old time. But they don't. Our kids don't run the streets. They don't go out till midnight walking around playing in the parks. They're always with an adult. And if they're not with an adult, they're with a younger adult that's responsible, that I know I can trust them with. I won't let my kids spend the night at certain people's houses. There's very few that I've let it happen. It's usually family or maybe someone in the church that I know that's not going to do anything wrong. We've had bus parents ask if our kids can come spend the night, and they do drugs, they drink, and I'm like, we just don't let our kids spend the night at other people's house. You say it nicely, right? Because I'm not going to allow sin into my kid's life that I can protect them from. But we had a kid just turn 18 on Thanksgiving Day. And it's up to her now whether or not she wants to live for God. And I know she does. I've sheltered her for so long. I've protected her. And I'm still protecting her. I will till the day I die. A man breaks her heart, I might break his leg. Right? But I probably shouldn't have said that. I love my kids, and I want to see them grow up in the admiration of the Lord. I want to see them. Yeah, we've taught them to read their Bible, to pray. But the true thing will come when she leaves the home, whether she decides to go to college or get married, praise God, then I got a little less of a food bill. But whether she tries to go and get married or whatever it is in life she wants to do, it's going to be up to her. And hopefully I've done a good enough job that she will stay in the faith and do what's right before God. But the biggest thing is that we need to teach our kids and the people of this church how powerful God is. If we are missing any of these birthmarks, then we need to question ourselves. What are we doing with God's life? You realize I said, what are we doing with God's life? Because it's not ours. If we're missing some of these, we need to get them right today so that God can use us and do even more greater things in this church. The true God, He hears and answers prayers, and He warns us the concerning of seriousness of sin. So every time you think it's okay, that Holy Spirit, He's talking to you. He's like, don't do it, don't do it, and yet we still do it. And we don't realize how serious it is. And I truly believe that even to this day, if we keep going down that road, He may just take us and say, it's time. Because you're not going to do what I want you to. But we do live in the age of grace, I believe. And He's going to give us chance after chance, but there's only so many chances. There's many people sitting in this room that I would rather see up here preaching than I. I would like to see men of God get trained up and that we have men of God that love to preach and teach the Word of God. I would rather see in the teen class on Sunday morning a different person every Sunday. Because you know what that shows you in life? That shows you spiritual growth in the church. that men of God are stepping up and even women. Even women, they can teach. Amen. You know, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's about what this church wants to do to see the glory of the Lord reign, right? So think about that. If you're not serving in a way that you could, what has God called you to do? What has God asked you to do? Will you heed it or will you walk away from it? But there's many things we can see happen in this very church. And I tell you, Pastor Crowder, I've never stood behind a pastor besides Pastor Tom Lamons and Pastor Bulk and even Pastor Mix, but I've never stood behind a pastor that truly knows the Word of God, that truly preaches it for what it is, and he doesn't fluff it up. Him and Pastor Lamons are kind of one and alike, just one's a little taller than the other, maybe the same height. But he stands on the Word of God and he tells you about the seriousness of sin. Because sin can creep into anyone's life, and if we're not on guard, it will creep into ours and it'll creep into this church. The devil wants to attack, he wants to devour families, and he wants to destroy them so that God's work does not further. But if we hold each other accountable, you know, the first thing that Pastor Crowder told me when I met him, we had a long meeting, was it like 2 or 3 hours? I think it was like 3 hours. Never have I ever sat with a pastor that didn't look at his phone once. His phone must have been on silent because I know people call him. But when he came into my home and we had our chat, he didn't look at his phone once. He didn't say, oh, I got to go, I got another meeting. And I bet he probably did have some meetings. But he sat there and he waited until we were done. We went through questions, scenarios, we talked about things. But it tells you that he's not too busy for his people. There are many pastors today that are so busy that they can't even sit down and talk with somebody without answering their phone and leaving. If we know that true and living God, when we're there to help others, we will take the time to help them and not worry about what's going on in this world. So not only does he hear and answer prayers, but he warns us of the concerning seriousness of sin. The true God, number 7, protects those who are his children. 1 John 5, 18 through 21. The Bible says, we know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. So he says, whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. And when we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true. So it's very clear that he is going to protect us. Very clear. But if we are not living a life that is pleasing him, he'll take his hedge of protection off. What happened to Job? Right? The family was merry and drinking in the house, and he took his whole family. But Job was still faithful. You see, only God can allow the devil in. You stole part of my sermon this morning. Or maybe it was Wednesday. Only God can allow the devil into our life to test our faith. And so many times we don't know the true God. We don't know how powerful, how great he is. We don't know how to lean on him. We don't know how to cast all our cares, for he careth for you, the Bible says. We don't know how to have that relationship with him so that when those testings come, we automatically fail because we're not doing it God's way or the right way. So he will protect us and he will protect his children. That's not to say that we may not die in persecution or that we may die in a car accident. Whatever way we go is God's way. It's God's will. But he will protect us while we're here doing his work, if we're in his will and doing what he wants us to do. And the Bible says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Do you know that you are of God? Do you know that you are a child? You are joint heirs, the Bible says. You are one, the Bible says, with God. We as a church are to be of one mind, one accord, doing things together. Amen. And if we have the mind of God, and we have the mind of God in the things of this Bible, the little things won't matter anymore. We will get in tune and we will move forward for God. The Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness, and we know the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So we can know for sure today that we have a place in heaven. So if there's somebody here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, you simply, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But there's something that has to be taken care of first, right? The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that sin has to be taken care of before we can come to know the true God, before we can come to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Well, the same thing in the Christian life. Before we can see the furtherance in our life and spiritual growth, we have to always take care of that sin. The Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what does the first part of the verse say? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Even though God knows what we do, he still wants us to confess it. He still wants us to go ahead and say, I know I've done wrong, but here I am at your feet. I want you to change me. I want you to move me, and I want to go forward for you, but I got to get this stuff in check. There are many Christians today who keep falling into sin and keep falling into the world, and you wonder, sometimes, are they really saved if they keep on moving that? If they don't show these birthmarks of the Christian, you wonder, are they saved? But yet, it's not up to me to judge whether or not they're saved, because only God knows their heart, but it's still in your mind. Why does this person keep making that decision? Why do I keep making that decision sometimes? And you see that, and you wonder. And sometimes the Holy Spirit convicts you, and you get saved at a later age in life. Pastor Tom Lamont's son, they were at a youth retreat, Dylan Lamont's. And he got saved just about a year ago, it was. We were back there preaching. And he got saved, and he got baptized. And the whole time I knew them, I thought he was saved. I thought he was his pastor's kid, he's saved. And here he was getting baptized when we were back there. The power of God's word will tell you whether or not you're saved. It will give you assurance if you will let it. I've heard of preachers getting saved, you know, after 20 years of ministry because they didn't know the true and living God. They didn't know the word of God, or they thought they knew it. They went through all the motions. They went through Bible college. They went through the things they were supposed to, but they missed the mark by a lot. Because if they were to continue to preach and teach and do all that, and at the end of their very life, don't get to enter into heaven because they didn't believe in the true and living God, that would hurt. So it's very important that we know our Bible, that we know our God, that we know what he can do, that we know how powerful he is, that we can have faith in a God that loves, have faith in a God that will chastise us when we do wrong. But will we let God change us? Or will we keep trying to change ourselves? This is the true God and eternal life. I got like 6 minutes. We'll see. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. There are so many idols and distractions in this world that get us off track. If we keep ourselves away from the idols, then we can see God work in our life and help us grow. But if we get to the idols and we keep worshiping idols, and other gods. And those other gods may not be gods. They may be TV. They may be Xbox. I like to play the Xbox with the kids. But if I notice it's taking too much of my time or even their time, there'll be no Xbox for like a month. Or maybe you only get an hour a day, right? Because anything can become an idol if we're not careful. Anything can distract us from the things of God if we're not careful. Anything can move us in the wrong way if we are not in his will. And we'll go to Romans chapter 12. We have a few more scriptures to go to. I'll try to go really fast. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. This ought to be the model of the Christian. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. So he says your bodies are a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. men, women, teenagers, children, your bodies are a holy sacrifice. So we ought not stick needles in us. We ought not partake of the alcohol, correct? The Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whoso is deceived by is not wise. I had to memorize that verse so I could stay away from the alcohol. And I had to stay away from my friends and get in tune with God so I could stay away from it so that my life would be holy and acceptable to the Lord. I used to have friends that would come into my house when I quit drinking, and they would stand there for an hour sometimes trying to get me to come out. And I remember one time, one stood there so long, I didn't know what I was going to do. I just opened my Bible up and I started reading, and he's like, "Hey man, let's go have fun. God ain't going to be mad at you if you come out and have a good time. Let's just go." And Pastor Aubrey Kincaid, who I believe he's a pastor still in Billings, Pastor Aubrey Kincaid showed up to my house at the right moment, the right time. Because as I could no longer say no in my own power, he showed up and said, "Brother, let's read the Bible." And that guy looked at him like, "What's going on?" And he started teaching me a lesson in the Bible, teaching me how I can overcome the world through God, but not through myself. And that guy skedaddled like you wouldn't believe. Even my cousin, they walked right out the room. We have to alienate ourselves from the things of this world so that God can use us, so that we can be holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you want to be in the will of God, make sure you're right yourself so that you can be in the will of God. So it's very important that what we do is good and acceptable. If God says, "Let's do this," let's do it. Amen. But if we don't know that it's God's direction, then we ought not do it till he gives us clear. I can't think of the word. Someone help me.
Answer.
Clear answer. There we go. My words, they get fumbled. But until he gives us a clear answer, just wait and be patient so that we know it's the will of God. Because so many times in my life, I've made the wrong decision when it comes to the will of God. And I've just kept falling until I realized that it's very important to be in the will of God. Now, after we go to Romans chapter 12, I think we have one more and then we'll be out of here. Romans chapter 12, we're going to go to Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. And I won't tell you the whole story. You know the story. It's Ananias and Sapphira. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Now you know that this is very important, because as a Christian, we ought to live a truthful life. Amen? We ought to live a truthful life. But Ananias and Sapphira, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back a part of the price, and his wife also being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said unto Ananias, Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? So Peter says, Ananias, why did you hold back a part? You sold the land for so much, but you held back a part. You remember Barnabas sold land to give to the church to help those in need, but he gave it all. He didn't hold any back. But Ananias and Sapphira thought, I'm going to hold some back. It's mine, right? But it's all God's. But if they would have just been honest and said, no, I didn't give it all, but they tried to live a life in deceit, I guess, tried to lie and to get past it. But the Bible's very clear that God will reveal those sins in our lives. Amen. Proverbs chapter 12, 22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight." So when we lie and we do dishonest things, we are not his delight. He is not happy with us. Well, let's go further in the story. The Bible says, "Thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back a part of the price in the land. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this saying in thine heart? Thou hast lied unto men, but unto God." See, we can put a show on, and we can lie to Pastor, or we can lie to Billy, we can lie to Isaiah, or Brett, or Barbara, or Reuben, or Phil. We can lie to you, and we can deceive you, can we not? Because you don't know our heart, but God knows our heart. So when we live a life that's not a life of truthfulness, then people, once you go so far, people will realize that you're not living a life of truthfulness. That you're nothing but a hypocrite, or maybe nothing but a sinning, lying person. And then people quit to trust you, do they not? After so many lies, you just no longer can trust that person. You can help that person, you can pray for that person, but they've burned you so many times that you're just like, I don't know if I can ever trust that person again. But when God finally gets a hold of that person's heart, then we can trust that person again. Then we can be right there. But do not give up. You remember the story where Jesus was preaching and the house was so full that they had to cut a hole and drop him down in? Their faith was made whole. They were saved because of their faith. Did Jesus quit preaching? Did Jesus quit helping the people? He did not, did he? Same thing with people in our lives. They may burn us. They may hurt us. They may keep on using us. They may keep abusing us. But we still have to keep trying with love. We still have to keep trying so that one day that they will turn their lives around. And it will be to the glory of God, but not us. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Ananias and Sapphira, they made a plan. And they knew that they were going to lie. Ananias' lies to the Holy Spirit, verses 1 through 6. Okay. John 8:44 says the devil is a liar and the father of it. The devil tries to get us to lie, to do wrong, to not do our obligations. But when we lie, it does us no good. It does God no good. It does the people no good. So verses 7 through 10, Sapphira, she lies. And the church, they fear God, verse 5:11. So you think about the story. You think about what it is they did wrong, but yet we don't have to do that wrong. We can live a life of truth, knowing the true and living God. Psalms 24:1, and we'll end. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world they that dwell in. So everything is God's, nothing is ours. And once we realize that in our lives, then we will see what God can do. And let me tell you, when you see God move, you'll never want to go back to that way. When you see God do great things, you will keep doing what's right before the Lord. So if it's all His, why is it that we hold back sometimes? And I'm not talking, you can use that tithing, you can use that service to the Lord, right? But we hold back sometimes as Christians. We ought not hold back. We need to push forward and march so that the furtherance of the gospel can get out there. We can support as many missionaries as we want and praise God that men of God will go to dangerous areas and do it. But we have our own mission field right here in Great Falls, Montana. And the surrounding areas. Let's march and see what God can do. Let's tell others about Jesus and not be afraid of what the world can do to us, but know that we have a reward in heaven for it. Barnabas, he sold it all, he gave it to him, and Ananias, they kept some back. The church is very important to God. So we ought to do things right, and I thank God that we have a church that does things right. Does it by the word of God. Thank you, Pastor. Proverbs 19:17, and we'll end. I lied to you. Sorry. My truthfulness. I had one more verse. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and he that which he hath given, he will pay him again. So the next time that you need to help somebody that you've helped over and over, and you're like, I just don't know if I should help that person, God will repay us. We have to be smart how we help them, but we can help them. The love of God. Where are the birthmarks today? Do you have those five birthmarks that are very much necessary to see spiritual growth in your life? The birthmarks are what helps see answered prayer, helps see us reveal that sin in our life. Those birthmarks help us understand the will of God. And if we're out of the will of God tonight, we better be very careful. We better get back into the will of God. Trust Him and know that He is the true and living God. We'll let Pastor do the invitation.